If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 16. And this evening, fam, we are going to continue our study in the book of Exodus. We're going to be in chapter 16 once again this evening. And we're going to be looking at verses 14 and 15. Exodus chapter 16. We're only going to focus on two verses, and we're going to really use these two verses to take us to the Gospel of John. And so let's begin here in Exodus chapter 16. We'll begin in verse 14. We'll read all the way down to verse 15. And when you have a family, you can let me know by saying amen, and we'll read it together as a family. Amen, fam. Amen. This is what the Word of God declares. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" Now, literally in the Hebrew, the word is manna. Manna. Is it manna? That's literally the reading there. What is it? Is it manna? For they did not know what it was. And then notice this, fam. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." Amen, fam. That is the word of the Lord, and all of God's people declares amen. And by saying amen, you agree with me that what we read indeed is the word of God. This evening, fam, I've titled our study, The Bread of Life. The Bread of Life. If you recall from our study last Thursday, we covered Exodus chapter 16. And if you recall, in verse 1, we were told that the people of Israel continued traveling in the wilderness, in the desert. And Moses told us in verse 1 that they came to the wilderness of Sin. And Moses tells us that the wilderness where they came to is located between Elim and the Mount of Sinai. And then we learn that as they arrive to this wilderness, to the desert of Sin, that once again they begin to complain. That once again the children of Israel began to whine and they began to complain. And we have seen that before. That's a reoccurring theme with the people of Israel. But this time we learned, this time instead of complaining about water like they did in chapter 15, they actually complained about food. They began to complain because in their minds they were going to die of hunger. And they literally begin to attack Moses. They're always attacking the man of God, the leader, the pastor. You know, the pastor has always a target on his back. Now, not this pastor, because you guys love me, right? If anything, I tend to attack you guys and try to motivate you guys. But Moses, he takes the brunt of the complaint. And so right away, what Moses does, like he does always, is he goes to the Lord. He takes the needs directly to the Lord. And the Lord provides. The Lord provides for his people. He provided water in chapter 15, and now he provides food. And really the picture there is God provides all the needs of his people. If it's water, if it's food, we would say if it's something spiritual or emotional, physical, financial, God always provides the needs of his people. Now, notice I didn't say the desires, because a lot of times our desires are not good. My son, I'll give you an example. If it was up to my son, he would eat fries and chicken strips all day long. That's his desire. You know, he loves chicken strips. He loves fries. And can you imagine if me, being his father, hey, yeah, let's do it, son. Hey, just put it on the credit card, right? Can you imagine if I gave him everything he desired? Well, it's probably not going to be fitting into the school uniform anymore, right? But God, he doesn't give us all our desires, but he gives us and provides all of our needs. He knows exactly what we need, and he is faithful. And so that's the picture there. God provides all the needs. And we're told that this is what God does. This is how God provides. That in the evening, God sends quails, birds, we would say, to the camp, and he provides meat for the people. And then in the morning, God literally rains down manna, bread. We don't really know exactly what it is, but it's a wafer, honey-like type of substance. And so every evening, God provides the quails. Every morning, God provides the manna, the bread from heaven. And he provides the needs of his people. And we learned last Thursday, we were talking about God's provision. We were focusing on the theme that God is faithful and God provides for his people. And if you recall, we said that God provides first to reveal his glory. That through provision, God makes himself known and God reveals his glory. God gives us a glimpse through his provision of how amazing he is. And we were sharing how all of us have experienced those times when there's a great need, there's a great petition, we're going through something, and God, in a visible way, he answers our needs. And all of us have had that experience where literally you pause and you say, thank you, Lord. You're amazing. You're blown away. There's like that 5 seconds where you enter into spontaneous worship. And you're like blown away. You're like, wow, God, you're amazing. Whoa, God, you're so faithful. And the idea is God does that for you can have that moment. For you can understand, man, you serve a glorious God. And then we learn that God also provides abundantly. That the people of Israel, man, they had all they can eat, so to say. They ate as much as they can. That God literally provided with hands open. And we said how God is a gracious, God is a good God. And a lot of times God gives us more than we deserve. All the time, amen. Not a lot of times, but all the time, God gives us so much more than we can deserve. And then we said God provides daily. And then we also said that God provides always. And literally chapter 16 ends with the chapter looking forward. And we're literally told that for the entire 40 years, God provided for his people. And so when you think of chapter 16, I want you to think about provision, that God is our provider and God always provides for our needs. And whatever we're going through, whatever we might be facing, wherever we find ourselves, that God is faithful and we need to trust in him. We need to trust in him. Remember, we talked about that's one of the main themes of Exodus. Exodus is about salvation, but also it's about sanctification. It's about the Christian walk. And one of the things God is teaching his people is to trust in him. Not to complain, not to murmur, not to point fingers, especially at the pastor, right? But to learn to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not to lean on your own understandings, but in all your ways to acknowledge him, to recognize, man, God's in control. God knows what he's doing. God has a plan and a purpose. And then the Bible promises, and he will direct our paths. Now, for tonight, we're going to continue in chapter 16. But now we're going to look at the big picture. And let me explain. One of the reasons why chapter 16 of Exodus is so important, so impactful, so special, is that Exodus chapter 16 really is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what we find in this chapter, there's a bigger meaning behind it. There's more to it. This event, this chapter, this bread of heaven is actually pointing to something bigger that God was going to do for his people. And that something bigger is Jesus. God provided bread from heaven for his people here. He sent down manna to his people. But this manna, this bread, this event was simply a picture. It was a taste, an appetizer of something bigger that God was going to do for his people in the future. You see, eventually, God was going to send the true bread from heaven down to the earth. Eventually, God was going to send his son, better bread, greater bread, someone who would satisfy not the physical need, but something deeper, the spiritual need. That someone who was going to provide not for a moment, not for a day, but for all of eternity. And that someone is Jesus. And so this is what I want you to see. Chapter 16 in Exodus, it's all about Jesus at the end of the day. Jesus is the fulfillment of Exodus chapter 16. Jesus is the true bread, the true manna that God the Father sent for his people. Jesus is the bread of life. And I want to show you exactly what I mean, and you're going to be so blessed by the word today. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I want you to look with me there in verses 25 through 35. Jesus is the bread of life. John 6. And when you have it, you can let me know by saying amen. And let's begin in verse 25. And let's read all the way down to verse 35. We're actually going to focus this evening here in John 6. This is what the word says. John 6, verse 25. When they found him, speaking of Jesus, on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. And then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Amen. Such a powerful text of scripture. This is the context. This is what's going on, all right, fam? At the beginning of chapter 6 here in the Gospel of John, Jesus feeds the 5,000. I mean, how many of you are familiar with that miracle? Amen? With a few pieces of bread, a few pieces of fish, Jesus does a miracle. He feeds the multitude. 5,000 men, counting women, counting children, probably was closer to 25,000. Talk about party, amen. Now after Jesus performed the miracle, notice verse 15. Notice verse 15. You got to understand the context if you're going to understand the text. John tells us that Jesus knew that the people were going to try to make him king by force. Remember, he just fed 25,000 people. He just met the physical need of 25,000 people. And so Jesus knew right away the people were going to try to set him up as a king, because who wouldn't want to be under a king who feeds you? Amen. That's a pretty good deal. I don't have to work. He just multiplies a little bread, a little fishies, and I'm good. Amen. And so that's the idea. And so Jesus, knowing the hearts of the people, knowing what their motive is, what they're thinking, right away he withdraws to the mountain by himself. And the idea there is he seeks God in prayer, because that's a heavy temptation. They want to make him king. They want him to rule over them. They want to give him the crown without the cross. Heavy temptation. It's one of the biggest temptations you're going to face as a Christian. Here's the crown, but don't worry about the cross. Here's the glory, but you don't need a sacrifice. You don't need a surrender. That's the biggest temptation Satan's going to throw in our face. And so Jesus, he goes to the Father in prayer to get strength, to get renewed, to get refreshed. And then notice verse 16. John tells us that in the evening, his disciples crossed over to to Capernaum. They crossed over the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. And then we read the story of the miracle when Jesus walked on water. And after Jesus walked on water, we don't have time to get into that miracle, powerful miracle, much we can learn, but that's for another night. Then we're told that together Jesus and his disciples crossed to the other side. Now notice verse 22. John tells us that the next day, the people begin to look for Jesus. Remember, he just fed them. They were full. So the next morning, guess what? They're hungry. They need breakfast. Where are you at, Jesus? I need my pancakes, right? And they didn't find him. And so notice right away, look at verse 23. They got into boats and they crossed over to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And this is where we're going to pick up the story. Verse 25. Everybody look with me. Verse 25. When they found Jesus, the multitude, the people, this is what they told him. Rabbi, when did you come here? In other words, why did you leave us? Why did you leave us? We were looking for you. We wanted to spend time with you. When did you come here? When did you cross? Why didn't you tell us, for we could have crossed with you? But Jesus knew the real reason why they were looking for him. They were looking for him not to get to know him, not to serve him, not to spend time with him, but they wanted some bread. They wanted Jesus to provide for them physical food, physical sustenance. They wanted physical blessings, material blessings. And so they go to Jesus. Hey, when did you come here, man? We were looking for you. We wanted to spend time with you. But Jesus knew what was in their heart. They just wanted another physical blessing. And so notice verse 27. Notice verse 27. This is how Jesus responds. Remember, Jesus knows the heart. Jesus knows all things. Nobody fools Jesus, even with spiritual talk. Amen? And so notice what Jesus tells them. He says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. You know what Jesus is telling them? He's telling them this. Hey, don't seek physical food. Don't be all about the physical. Don't pursue physical blessings. That's not your greatest need. That's just going to perish. Don't make that the priority, the physical, but seek spiritual food. Seek spiritual sustenance. In other words, seek spiritual blessings. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek those things that will endure to eternal life. Seek those things that matter for eternity. Be all about eternal things. That's what you should be working for. Work for spiritual things. Things that are going to endure. In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, feed your spirit. Feed your spirit. Don't feed your flesh. Don't be all about your flesh, your physical desires, your physical cravings, the things of this world, the pleasures of this world, the possessions of this world. Don't kill yourself for that, because it's not going to endure. It's not going to last. You're going to make money, and guess what? Then you're going to want more money. You're going to eat, and then guess what? You're going to be hungry again, and you're going to have to eat some more. Don't kill yourself for something that's going to perish. But Jesus says, but feed your spirit, pursue spiritual things. And then he says, which the Son of Man will give you. Now notice verse 28. After hearing this from the Lord, this is how they respond. This is what they said. He said, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Now another way of understanding that is, okay, how do we obtain this spiritual food? What do we need to do? What kind of work do we need to do then that endures for eternal life? What does God want us to do then? What do we need to do? And notice how Jesus responds. Verse 29, he says this. Let me tell you, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. In my opinion, I've been studying the Bible for many years by the grace of God, but those two verses could possibly be the most important verses of the Bible. Because this is what they're asking. What does God want from my life? And really, isn't that the million-dollar question? Like, what does God, what does it mean to do God's will? What does it mean to do God's work? What does God want from me? And Jesus says, this is what God wants from you. Believe in him whom he sent. That's God's work. That's what God wants. That's how you work for the food that endures to eternal life. You have to believe in me. That's God's will from your life. That's how you obtain that food that will last. You have to believe in me. Now notice in verse 30, in response to Jesus' words, this is what the multitude declares. Look at the multitude. Look at the heart of the multitude. Let me just say, don't be the multitude. May God help us not to be the multitude. Amen? Because look at how they respond. They said, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Now, remember what I just told you. How did chapter 6 begin? What did Jesus multiply? The bread, the fish, and he feds 5,000. Amen? And so the multitude, they've already seen a sign. Jesus has already done a sign. And yet, once again, they want another sign. And what does that show us? That they don't want to believe. They want entertainment. They want physical food. It's like them saying, okay, feed us again, and then we'll believe you. Hey, bless me, and then I'll give my life to you. You know, save me again. Get me out of jail again. Get me out of this again, God, and then I'll surrender my life to you. Give me another sign. God has just saved them. God has just had mercy on them. God just has kept them. I need another sign, though, God. And I need another sign and another sign. They don't want to serve God. They want to serve their belly. They want God to serve them. And that's what they say. Hey, give us another sign. And then notice, this is the sign they want. Notice verse 31. They go to the book of Exodus, chapter 16. And they said, our fathers, speaking of the people of Israel, they ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, this is the idea. Show us a sign. Hint, hint. Exodus 16. Give us some bread. Make it rain bread, Lord, and then we'll believe you. Hook us up, Lord. You know, snap your finger. Do something amazing. Make it rain, right? Like, hey, go for it, Lord. Make it rain, and then we'll believe you. What do they want? They want physical blessing. They want God to satisfy their stomach, not their heart, not their soul. And they tell Jesus, can you give us bread from heaven? Can you multiply some bread again? Can you make it rain down manna? Can you meet our desires? And then we'll believe in you. Make us feel good. Make us feel good. And then we'll believe in you. Everybody wants to feel good, right? Especially Christians. Make me feel good, God. Give me everything I want. You know, Lord, you're a genie in the bottle. I'm just going to rub you and just give me what I want. And then I'll surrender my life to you. That's what they told Jesus. But notice how Jesus responds. Jesus gets their eyes off the physical, and he puts it on the spiritual. And that's something Jesus always does. He wants us to get our eyes off the physical, and he wants us to see the spiritual. Jesus wants us to understand that our greatest need is always a spiritual need. Your greatest need every day is always a spiritual need. It's always a heart need, a soul need. It's always in here. Not so much in the stomach, right? But in here in the heart. And so Jesus, right away, he gets their attention off the physical, puts it on the spiritual. And notice what he says, verses 32 and 33. This is how he says. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father, and notice it's in the present tense, he gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And Jesus says, hey, get your eyes off Moses. It wasn't Moses who did it, but it was my Father. My Father is the one who gives you the true bread. And then the Lord says, and the true bread, it's not the man, it's not a physical bread, but it's me, the one who's come down to heaven. I've come to give life. Exodus 16, that was just a picture. That was just a type. That was just a shadow of something bigger to come. Something that God was going to do. And now the true bread is here. Now, the true manna is here. Now God really did provide for your need. Now in hearing that, look at the response of the people. Verse 34, right away they responded, sir, give us this bread always. They're still thinking about physical bread. They're still focused on the physical. They still think their greatest need is physical. They still think if we have enough food and if we make enough money and if we obtain enough success, then I'll finally be satisfied. But I just got to keep grinding. You know, if I can just get that raise and if we can just get this house, then we'll be okay. They think their greatest need is physical. They think with money, all my problems are going to go away. I'll finally be whole. And they say, sir, give us this bread. Notice they don't say, sir, give us yourself. Sir, we want you, Jesus. You're the true bread. You're the only one who can satisfy. But they're still focused on physical bread. And notice how Jesus responds. Verse 35, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. It's as if Jesus said, hey, don't you get it? I'm the bread of life. I'm the true bread of heaven. I'm the bread you need. I'm what you need. You don't need physical bread. You don't need a better job or a raise or this or that. You need me. I'm the heavenly bread that God provided to give you life. You're looking for life. You're feeling empty. You're feeling dissatisfied. You're feeling like there's a hole, like something's missing. And Jesus says, that's why I've come. God sent me to give you life. And he is the true bread. And so chapter 16 of Exodus, it's pointing towards chapter 6 of John. And God wants us to see the big picture. He provided manna in the desert for his people, but that was just a picture of something bigger that was going to come. And that something bigger is Jesus. The Father has provided the Son. God the Father has provided the true bread, which is Jesus, and only Jesus can satisfy our hearts and our souls. He's the only one that can bring life to our lives. He is the bread of life. Now, this is what I want to do. I want to share with you three things concerning Jesus being the bread of life. And then we'll finish up our time in the Word. Three things concerning the bread of life. Three points. Let's go a little deeper with this idea, this truth. It's not an idea, it's a truth, that Jesus is the bread of life. The first thing I want to share with you is this. Jesus, as the bread of life, he's the only one who can bring satisfaction, and he's the only one who can bring sustenance to our life and to our hearts. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy. He is the bread of life. Now, let me just ask you a quick question. You don't have to respond, but you're going to know the answer. You will know the answer. What does bread do? How many of you eat bread? Now, don't be shy. You all eat bread. Some of you are like, man, I got bread in my purse. I'm going to eat it after service. I love it so much, right? I ate bread before I came, Adam, you know? Okay, the question is, what does bread do? What does bread fulfill? What's the purpose? What's the purpose of bread? Bread brings sustenance. Bread brings satisfaction. Bread fills a hungry stomach. That is the purpose of bread. That is why bread is made. Someone eats bread when they're hungry. Simple as that, right, fam? It's not hard to understand this, especially in the time of Jesus. You didn't have too many options. In Jesus' time, it wasn't like, all right, you know, pandas tonight. Boys, so get on the boats, right? No, you were limited in what you could eat. Bread was a staple meal. It was like either bread and nothing else, really. And so bread, someone ate bread to fill a hungry stomach. And so this is the idea, okay? This is the picture. This is the message. Everyone is hungry. Everyone is empty. Everyone is starving spiritually because of sin, because of what took place in the garden. Everyone has a hole, not in their stomach, but in their heart. And the only one who can satisfy that hunger is Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can bring sustenance to our life. He's the only one that can bring satisfaction to our spirit. He's the only one who can fill the hunger of our soul. He's the bread. He's the bread of life. And as the bread of life, he's the only one who can satisfy. Everything else will leave us empty. Everything else will leave us depressed. Everything else will leave us wanting more. But Jesus is the only one who can satisfy and fill. He's the only one who can make us full. He's the only one who can fill our hearts and our souls and our spirits. You know, I don't know what was your experience before you came to Christ, before you gave your life to Christ, but my experience before I was a Christian was one of emptiness. I think that is one of the best descriptions of sin. Sin is very empty. And what I mean by that is no matter what you do, and believe me, I did everything, at the end of the day, I was still empty. I was. And that's why you got to keep doing it, because you think if I do it again or the more I do it, perhaps it will fill me. Perhaps it will fill this hole that I have. I have this hole. I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what's going on. But I'm empty. I'm miserable. I stay up at night. I'm restless. I'm always chasing this and chasing that. I don't know what to do. And you smoke that. You drink that. You go there. You watch that. You say that. You hang out with them or her or him. But you're still empty. And that's the world. The world can give you the best they have to offer, and it'll still leave you empty. You will still be hungry. And that was me, fam. That was me before I gave my life to Christ. I was always hungry. Spiritually, my soul, my heart was always empty. And I'll never forget. When I gave my life to Christ, I was 21 years old. When I gave my life to Christ for the first time, I was full. And I'll never forget. I literally would tell people, so this is how it feels. This is what it means to be full. This is what it means to not need that or need this. Or need to go here. This is what it means to be free. This is what it means to be full. And it was only Jesus who can fill that void. And you know what? 15 years later, the same is true. Only Jesus can fill our void. Only Jesus can satisfy. He's the only one who can bring satisfaction. You know, believers need to be filled too. Because every once in a while, man, we get holes in our hearts. Amen. We have Christ. We're serving the Lord. But why are we so dissatisfied sometimes? Why are we chasing things of the world so much? We need the bread of life every day. How many would say amen to that? Now notice second, not only is he the only one who can bring satisfaction and sustenance to our heart, but Jesus is the only one who can give energy and power for our Christian walk. He satisfies, he brings sustenance, he fills our soul, but he also gives energy, he gives power. And this is very easy to understand because one of the purposes of food is to give energy. You all understand what I'm saying. Have you ever gone a day without eating, or have you ever skipped breakfast or lunch? You feel weak, amen. You can be young, you can be healthy. But if you don't eat eventually, man, you get lightheaded and dizzy. And some of you turn into like Oscar the Grouch. Like, I need a Snickers, right? That's what food does. Food gives energy. Bread gives energy, especially wheat bread, amen? And so this is the idea. Jesus, as the bread of life, he gives us energy. He gives us power. He gives us the ability to walk this Christian walk. Every time you spend time with the Lord, every time you walk with the Lord, you're just focused on the Lord, you receive energy from the presence of Christ. You get power from reading the Word of Christ. You get strength from the Spirit of Christ. You get refreshed when you approach the table of Christ, when you take the Lord's Supper. How many of you have ever had that experience where you come on a Sunday that's communion, and man, you're feeling weak and you're feeling discouraged and you're a mess, and then you just approach, the Lord's table. It's like the Lord just meets you there. The Lord just honors you taking the elements as you remember Him, and He strengthens you. Jesus strengthens you. He gives you power. What about the church of Christ? How many times have man, you maybe missed a Sunday, you missed a service, and man, you're feeling weak. You're like, man, I just feel it, Adam. I'm feeling so weak, and I'm so discouraged, and man, I'm feeling so fragile. And you come to church, and you're amongst the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus is in the midst of His people, and you leave strengthened. You're like, man, that's just what I needed. I needed to be around the church of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus gives life to His people. Jesus gives energy in order that we might continue. How are we going to continue? How as a believer, how are we going to make it? Have you ever asked that question? Because it's a long trip, family, man. It's a long journey. Now, some of you are young and you're serving the Lord and you're grinding and you're like, man, you know, I face so much temptation, so many obstacles. It's so hard. It's a struggle. It only gets harder. It only gets harder. And so the question is, how are we going to make it, and how are we going to continue? I'm 35 right now. Maybe if the Lord blesses me with 30 more years, how am I going to do it? I'm so weak. You know, I don't know about you, but man, I'm weak. I will just confess that I'm fragile. I'm always discouraged. I don't know about you. I don't know if you just like wake up, you're just worshiping the Lord nonstop, but man, I get discouraged. When I wake up, I feel like just going back to bed. I feel like just hiding in the closet. I'm so weak. I'm so discouraged. You know, I struggle with depression. I'll just be honest with you. I get very discouraged sometimes. Oh, you should see me on Monday. After Sunday, man, the crash comes. I'm just so down at times. That's me. It's Adam. With all his degrees, all his education. Oh, man, he's a pretty good Bible teacher. That's me, fam. Discouraged, depressed, weak, fragile. Sometimes I feel like a coward. How am I going to make it? How am I going to keep going? Jesus would say, I'm the bread of life, and I've come down to give you life. That's how you're going to make it. Because the bread of life is going to give you energy when you're weak. He's going to give you life when you feel dead. He's going to give you comfort when you're feeling so depressed and so down. He's going to give you direction when you feel so lost and so confused. You're going to make it because Jesus is the bread of life. And what does bread do? Bread gives energy. Food gives energy. Jesus will give energy to our spirits that we might continue fight this good fight. How many would say amen to that? It's the bread of life. He satisfies. He gives energy. He gives power. And then third, I want to end with this, fam. As the bread of life, He's the only one that we must be feeding on. He's the only one that we must feed on. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy. The only one. The only one who gives power, who gives energy, who keeps us going. And so the question is, are we feeding on him? Are we feasting on him? Are we getting Jesus inside of us? You know, every day we feed on something. And I'm not talking about physical food, but let's just be honest. Let's just think about this. Every day, there's things that enter us. So it could be a song, could be a conversation, could be an image, a movie, picture, thoughts. Every day, you know, you go to work, there's things we're feeding on. There's things that are entering us. Maybe curse words from coworkers. Maybe it's an image as you're driving to work. Maybe it's music that is reminding you of your past. But every day we're feeding on something. Now some things we don't have no control over. Amen, fam? But some things we do. And the question is, what are we putting inside of us every day? What are we feeding on? Now, I remember my mom used to always tell me, hey, you are what you eat. The idea is if you, eat unhealthy, you're probably going to be unhealthy. If you eat healthy, you're probably still going to be unhealthy. Amen. No, just kidding. You are what you eat. She used to always say that. She used to always try to discourage me from the cheeseburgers, but it didn't work, fam. It didn't work. But in a very real way, that also applies to spiritual things. You are what you eat. Feed on Christ, man, you're going to be more like Christ. Feed on the things of this world, I guarantee you, you're going to be worldly. You are what you eat. And Jesus would tell all of us, eat me. Feed on me. Feast on me. Make me a part of your diet. Make me a part of your day. Spend time with me. I know your day is long. I know it gets hard, but spend time with me. I'm the bread of life. Get me inside of you. Feast on me. Eat me every day. Get me in your heart. Get me in your thoughts. Get me in your soul. I'm the bread of life. And I'm the only one who can satisfy. It says, as Jesus is saying, I'm what you really need every day. Feast on me. And with this, we were lost, hungry, wandering around in the desert. It was us in Exodus 16. And God had mercy, God had grace, and God provided bread. He sent down his bread, his son, the bread of life, the Lord Jesus. And now, as the people of God, we have the true bread. The bread of life, the true manna from heaven. And the question is this, are we feasting on him? Or are we feasting on the rocks of this world? We're in the desert, you know, we're just, you know, walking this Christian walk, walking towards the celestial city. And what are we feasting on, fam? What are we feasting on? Things of this world, the cares of this world. What are we feasting on? Thoughts that are just not honoring God. What are we feasting on? Or are we feasting on the bread of life? Oh, the exhortation, fam, is feast on Jesus. He is what you are looking for. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. Powerful, powerful word, Lord, that I needed to hear. It was powerful in my heart, Lord. You're the bread of life. That is just such a powerful text, Lord. That text always touches my heart, Lord, because I can't speak for anyone, but I know what it feels like to be empty, Lord. I do, Lord. I know what it feels like to be empty. and to be hungry and to be just having a hole in my life. I do know what that feels like. I do know what it feels like to be starving. And I'm eating all that the world has to offer, and I'm still starving. I know what that feels like. And Lord, I've experienced you as the bread of life. I have experienced you. I experience you still as the bread of life. The only one who can satisfy, the only one who can bring wholeness, the only one who can fill. It's not that drug, it's not that drink, it's not that relationship, it's not that job. Praise God for work, and we thank you, Lord, for blessing us with work. But ultimately, Lord, work will not satisfy. Praise God for education, Lord, and by your grace, let's pursue it. But Lord, my education, that's not going to satisfy, Lord. My house, it's not going to satisfy. Only you can satisfy. And Lord, help us, especially those brothers and sisters who are young. Lord, help them get it already, that they would just get it. That, Lord, you would just use tonight to touch their heart, and that they would save themselves so much time and so much struggling and so much wondering and so much vainly pursuits, and that they would just understand Jesus is the only one who can satisfy. And that you would teach us, Lord, that you would teach us to be satisfied in you, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to just learn to be satisfied. Teach us to say, Jesus is enough. Teach us, Lord, to say, Lord, you're enough. You're enough for my life. You're enough for my heart, Lord. You're enough for my family, Lord. You're enough, Lord. I don't need to chase that. I don't need to be jealous of him or her. I don't need to be pursuing those things. But Lord, you're enough, Lord. I'm satisfied in you, Lord. And everything else is just extra. Everything else is just a bonus, Lord. Everything else is just the cherry on top. But Lord, you are the main dish, Lord. You're all we want, Lord. You're all we want, Lord. Teach us to be satisfied in you, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Help me to understand, Lord, that if I have you, I have everything. Life is good with the bread of life. And Lord, you give us the power. Lord, you give us the strength. You be bread. You be the nutrients to our Christian walk, Lord. You give us power, Lord. Lord, we confess. I confess that I'm weak, Lord. I'm so fragile, Lord. I'm so emotional at times, Lord. I battle with so many different things. So much discouragement and so much temptation. And Lord, I confess that at times, more times than not, man, I just want to lay down and die, Lord. I want to give up. I feel at times, Lord, that I don't have nothing else in the tank. Oh, God, fill me, Lord. Give me strength to fight one more day. Give me power, Lord, to make it through one more day. And then the next day I will trust again in you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, you're our only hope. You're our only hope, Lord. We have nothing else but you, Lord. Nothing else. We cannot make it without you, Lord. We're all at the end of the rope, Lord. We're all beggars in need of bread. And tonight, Lord, we beg you, give us of yourself, Lord. We want more of you in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, at my work, at my church, in my ministry. When I'm all alone, I want more of you, Lord. I want more of you, Lord. We just commit our lives into your hands, Lord. We open our hearts. We open our hearts to you, Lord. And we just receive. We just receive. Would, Would you, family, if the Lord leads you, would you just raise your hands with me as the Lord leads you? Would you say, Lord, I just receive. I receive all that you have for me, Lord. I receive, Lord. I believe, Lord, you're my greatest need. And Lord, I just receive. I don't need anything else, Lord. I don't think anything else. I just want you, Lord. If you want to throw in physical blessings, praise God. But if not, Lord, you're enough, Lord. You're enough, Lord. Whatever you have for me, whatever your will is for my life, I will be satisfied, Lord, because I'm satisfied in you, Lord. You're my reward, Lord. You're my treasure, Lord. You're my everything, Lord. I don't serve you to get something from you, Lord. I serve you because I want you, Lord. I want you, Jesus. I want more of you, Lord, every day, Lord, every day. And Lord, today, as a family, we just receive, Lord, with hands open, with palms open, with hearts open. We just receive, Lord. We just receive from your presence, Lord. We fill our cups, Lord. We fill our cups. We receive strength tonight. Some of us have been feeling so weak. Some of us have been feeling so fragile. But Lord, tonight we receive strength, Lord. Tonight, Lord, we receive rest, Lord. Some of us, man, we're feeling restless. We're feeling so discouraged. Lord, we receive rest from you. We receive guidance. We receive direction. Lord, we receive healing in Jesus' name. Lord, we receive forgiveness. Forgiveness, Lord. There is no condemnation in Christ. All our sins have been washed by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we receive forgiveness. We receive a clean conscience, a pure heart. We receive from you, Lord. We believe that you're still giving bread from heaven, Lord. We believe, Father, you're still pouring out your Son. You're pouring out your Spirit upon your people. And Lord, we receive, Lord. We receive all that you have for us. Whether it's blessing or whether it's hardships, Lord, we receive it, Lord. You give us grace. And we receive it, knowing, Lord, that you will work all things for the good. And when it's all said and done, you will be glorified in our lives and through our lives. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We worship you. And we receive from you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And all of the family says,